Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Teron Davenport in studio talking with TD. TD and Chase on Friday nights, 6 to 8. Here on 102.5 The Game. Titans will be in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Another Saturday night tilt. 7:15 kickoff. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Good win in Foxborough over the Patriots. And before we get into your breakdown, Teron, because you need to check out Teron's podcast. And he does a lot of things on ESPN. And he's got a video we're going to get to in just a minute. But I want to find out, if they pull this off, and I know you haven't been here for a long time, but considering the circumstances, considering it's the number one seed and how everybody feels about the Ravens, I would say right now the Ravens are probably, I haven't looked at the latest, but probably the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now. Would they not be?
I don't know. They shouldn't be.
Yeah. It's not much of a stretch. If they go into Baltimore and actually beat the Ravens, like where would that stack up? Like, has in big wins in Titans franchise history since they've been here 20-plus years. What do you think?
I mean,
Ravens are a 2-to-1 favorite.
To win the Super Bowl.
As far as big wins?
I mean, obviously winning the AFC Championship game in Jacksonville back in the day to push them into the Super Bowl was a monster win. Music City Miracle, because it was the first ever playoff game.
Titans are 30-to-1.
But they are a huge underdog in this game.
I think in... I almost said modern era. Let me check myself. In the 2010s, I think it would be the biggest win for the team. I firmly.
So the latest decade, it would be the biggest, it would, for sure.
This would be the win of the decade. And I'll say this. If they go in there and beat Baltimore, I'm going to my editor and I'm going to say, listen, we need to book Miami. Because if they beat the Ravens, they are going to the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's a stretch by any means.
Doubts about that.
If
they beat the Ravens, they are going to the Super Bowl.
Back-to-back AFC Championship games at home.
I'll say it again. If they beat the Ravens, they're going to the Super Bowl. Big if, right? You know, if I ran 4-3 instead of 4-5-5.
You wouldn't be doing this radio show.
Yeah, I probably would because I love talking to you guys. You know.
Wow. So you feel that good. That's the significance of this game.
It's not a matter of feeling good as much. It's more a matter of understanding how monumental that would be. This Ravens offense is literally unstoppable. You have a guy that led the league in touchdowns and had the audacity. He had the gall to rush for 1,200 yards. And on top of that, you have Mark Ingram. You have a vertical. Everything you want in a team, you have it here. The Ravens' offensive line, they consistent. They control the line of scrimmage. They dominate. Marshall Yonder is one of the best guards in the league. You want a guy that could stretch the field, no problem. Hollywood Brown, look him up. He could stretch the field. Oh, you want defense? Yeah, no problem. They have a really good defense, one of the best secondaries, right? You got Earl Thomas, who worked out this summer with Kenny Vaccaro and Kevin Byard and Derwin James, among others, right? You got corners in Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, who completely injected a different level of swagger to that defense. Oh, and one of the best young corners in the game of Marlon Humphreys. The linebackers are solid. KJ Fort is a pretty good sideline-to-sideline guy. Up front, you talk about Daquan Jones and what he's done that's underrated. Brandon Williams is the same player. And then you got the guy that can occupy three gaps if he wants to, and Michael Pierce. This team is very good. Oh, there's three phases to the game, right? Justin Kicker is the best. I call him Justin Kicker.
Yeah.
Justin Tucker is the best kicker in the league.
Yep.
I've seen him in practice, no lie, hit a 70-yard field goal. I seen it happen. I'm not saying they'll go out in the game and do that, but my point is they are complete. Sam Cook, maybe the third best, because you know who the best kicker punter in the league is. So they're complete.
Breaking news, not that this should surprise anybody, Tua Tagovailoa will enter the NFL draft.
That means he probably got like a top 10 projection. People are fainting everywhere.
I know.
Do you think he still goes top 10?
I think so.
Yeah.
Ideally, he doesn't, though. Ideally, what Chase said, the Chargers go and get Tom Brady, and Tua falls to them. Or the Chargers mess around and have a top 10. I'm so used to thinking of the Chargers being good.
They're top 10 for sure.
Well, there you go. There's the destination.
Let's see the draft order as of now. I mean, obviously, the top 10 is not going to change. I mean, we know who's going number one overall.
Burrow to Cincinnati. That's done.
So Washington has two, Detroit, Giants, Miami, top five. Chargers are six.
Does he go, Miami? Does Miami take him at five?
What about Detroit? What about Detroit?
I know. That is interesting. Baltimore, do you realize they haven't lost a game since the first month of the season? Their two losses were in September.
And one of them was
to
Cleveland.
And they were back-to-back weeks.
They've been rolling, man.
October, November, December. They went 3 months in the NFL, didn't lose a game.
You know what's crazy about that secondary? They lost one of their best players in Tony Jefferson. I mean, yo, that team is legit. But I tell you what's really cool about all of this, and that's what I kind of highlighted in the breakdown that I did, the video. 2012, it happened in 2013, but after the 12th season, Super Bowl was Ravens versus 49ers.
I was there in New Orleans.
Ravens, D.C.? Did you turn the lights out?
I was about to ask. Is that when Beyonce did?
Listen to that Teddy Pendergrass, huh?
I saw Beyonce. I was following Beyonce through. This was the big media day on Tuesday, back when they did it on the Tuesday. And I saw the throng of people that were with her. Like, her security guards were oak trees. I mean, they were trees that could walk. Massive, massive human beings. And all of a sudden, that throng of people just stopped. And I wanted to get up there because it's Beyonce. And I'm like, what is going on? Do you know who stopped the whole thing and was face-to-face and talking her head off? And I'm sure, and I laughed because I said, I'm sure when she walked away, she had no idea who she was talking to.
Jarrett Stillman?
Wow. Well, it did start with a J, Joe Theismann.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Joe Theismann stopped the whole thing in its tracks and was sitting there talking Beyonce's head off. And like I said, I'm sure she walked away and was like, who the hell was that?
Yeah.
And how did he get in here to stop this? I was going to the limousine, man. No telling what Joe Theismann said to her. But
he's lucky Jay-Z wasn't there because he'd have slapped him.
Yeah, he may have. He may have. So let's get into the breakdown of how you try to go about. I don't even know if you can slow down the offense. I mean, you think about it. They started off the season scoring 59 points and had, let's see, I'm going to do this because I think I know the number, but I want to be correct. Five games in the 40s. Is that right? Five, yes. Think about it. This is the NFL. Five times they beat their opponent, and they were in the 40s. And I told you, they started off their season by hanging 59 on Miami. This is not college. This is not Big 12 football. This is the NFL, and that's how good their offense. So when we come back, you did a video breakdown. Just talk about what Dean Pease and this Titans defense is up against and how you try to begin, because we know it all starts with Lamar Jackson. But they have so many weapons. How you try to go about to try to slow this thing down? You're not going to contain it. You're not going to shut it out. But how do you slow that train down? We'll do that on the other side with Teron Davenport here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cowboys have found their man, Jason Garrett, out. Mike McCarthy in as the new Cowboys head coach. Tua has decided to forego his senior season. He will enter the 2020 NFL draft. That will not be in Nashville. It's too bad. I wish it was. I wish it was coming back. That was a lot of fun. Tron Davenport is in studio with us. So let's get to your video. It is not. Is that officially out there?
It is okay. Out there.
Oh, it is out there. Okay, good. So tell people how they can watch that. You put that together this morning here before you went on the air with us. So let's go about kind of getting your breakdown of what Dean Pease and the Titans defense is up against.
Yeah, first shout out to my DJ and camera guy, Elijah Campbell. Appreciate you. Basically, what I did on the plane ride home, I couldn't sleep for some reason on the plane ride from Chicago to Nashville, the second leg. And I pulled out my notepad and I was just drawing different things up. And then I said, well, you know what? I forgot that Dean Pease was the DC for the Ravens when Greg Roman was the OC for the 49ers. So I wanted to go back and watch that tape. So I watched it, and I saw some different things that they did. Initially, they were very successful against Kaepernick and Greg Roman's offense, right?
Until the lights went out.
Once the lights went out, you know, hey, man, what did they say? The freaks come out at night, right?
And there's some freaks in New Orleans.
They started to get freaky. Delanie Walker got off in that game, by the way, if you want to go back and watch it. But as far as this is concerned, one of the things that they did was they took – Terrell Suggs, and they lined him up a little bit differently from the traditional outside linebacker position. He was a little more tilted where like his numbers were almost against, like, back to the sideline. So that was one of the ways that they tried to make sure that nothing got outside. And then they also used the cornerback to kind of help with the outside contain. In my write-up, I did it a little bit more where I had Logan Ryan really be the guy to have that outside contained over top of Kamale Correa, having that so it allows him to set the edge, basically. And then in that alignment, you have your actually in this case it was Kenny Vaccaro. His role was he had to maintain one of the gaps. He had to maintain the gap between the guard and the tackle. So basically what it was just controlling the gaps inside, but also having outside contain, but using a linebacker, one to spy Lamar, and then the other one to scrape. So that way, like, because the zone read doesn't always go to one side. So it goes to a different side. You have the outside contain there, but then you also have your linebacker scraping. So if it goes weak side, he could scrape. And when I say scrape, basically all you're doing is you're just reading from gap to gap to gap to make sure, like, you're maintaining the gaps, but then you're also making sure that nothing goes outside of you. And then on top of that, you have the best safety in football as your post guy to help out with stuff over top. You got a Dory who could run like a deer. He would have to match up with Hollywood Brown. Now, the key to this, though, here's the issue. The Ravens, and the reason why the Ravens are so good is because they could pass the ball really well out of 13 personnel. They find ways to use, even though they have those three tight ends, Mark Andrews, he was my number one He was my top tight end in that draft class. Of course, they got him in the third round, and they used the first round pick on Hayden Hurst. He would be another factor, but it's really Mark Andrews. They could pass the ball really well, even from a vertical concept. I've seen them use four verticals, which is just four streak routes with 13 personnel, three tight ends. So it's really going to be tough for them because once you start trying to stop that zone read, then they have the play action because another part of it is he could pull it and throw it to the tight end running a crossing route. So it's pick your poison out of three different ways. So it's going to be tough, but this is one way that I can see them trying to keep Lamar specifically from killing him.
How much is available? You know, the Titans have not played Baltimore this year, but how much information can they get from either wherever they get film or another team? Like, I don't know if at this point Vrabel could talk to the Patriots, talk to Belichick and take something away. I mean, does a lot of that happen? It may be a silly question, but
no,
to try and get information from a team that has played them.
It's not a silly question. The thing, I'm not positive that could happen in season, but I know for a fact that Vrabel has actually talked to Ron Rivera a lot.
Yeah.
He said that. So I could see, but one of the things, because I asked Vrabel about this yesterday, and he said some of the things, because the other thing, when you have Lamar, Don't go, man. Don't play man defense because you're back to him. Mm-mm. That's not good because he'll take off and run easily. So when I asked him about that, he said one of the things that he's really going to rely on is just, you know, cross film, right? So when they – and that's what he's – he wasn't fully familiar with what the Ravens – he knows what they do, but he wasn't like to break it down like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He wasn't there yet, but he said that he saw them in cross film, you know, from time to time. So, I mean – I guess you could talk, but I'm not sure if you're able to do it in season or not. That's a good question. But I think really what it comes down to, going back and seeing what other teams have done, because like the Bills did a really good job against Lamar and the Ravens.
Yeah. I could just see it now. Hey, Bill, sorry for knocking you out Saturday night. So tell me about the Ravens. What do you think? Bill, can't hear you. Click.
Hey, the Ravens did the thing to
I was
going to
say,
Patriots,
I don't know
though.
If he would want to relive that game. That was the real – I mean, that was when the Patriots were on. Don't forget, the Patriots, weren't they 8-0? They started off 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ran into the Ravens, and they got dusted.
The Ravens are like a buzzsaw, man, you know. And the thing that's so crazy about them is they could win physical, they could win track meets because you got Justice Hill in the backfield. It's fast. Miles Boykin is fast. We talked about Marquise Brown, and they have – And Mark Andrews isn't fast, but he's a threat running those seam routes. So it's a problem going against them.
By the way, at SavageSound89 says he's enjoying the X and O talks, listening all the way from Ireland right now.
Very appreciate cool.
On the
that,
app,
man.
So appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. That's love right there.
No doubt. So, Dan, thank you for that. So what is the magic number? Is there a magic number of if you can keep the Ravens – within this window of points, you have a really good chance. Your odds go way up of winning this game. What would that number be?
I would say 20 to 25 points.
Is that possible?
I don't know, man.
You know what,
I mean,
you know what Kevin Garnett said, man. Anything's possible!
So
it went a little bit longer than that, actually.
Yeah,
San Francisco kept them to 20, but they lost by 3.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
here's what you have to do.
They still score 25 and 28 respectively in their two losses to Kansas City and Cleveland.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I would go 20 to 24 not because of the points but because of typically what happens to lead to those points. If that's the case, right? The game is close. If you could keep it close, keep it as Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry say muddy, I think that favors the Titans. I think right now they have a little bit more grit than the Ravens do, and I think they could win that game. But these teams are mirror images of each other.
Hmm. Let's go up to Portland. Adam wants to weigh in. He believes like you, although he said it before the Patriots game, that he felt like this team was headed to the Super Bowl. Adam, what's up?
Thank you for that. That's what I was going to say, man. I'm one for one. So, Teron, man, I do not think these are mirror images of each other. This is the difference. And I'm calling the score right now. Look, I said 31-13. I did not get the 31 right, but I got the 13 right. So I'm going 28-14 just because they came to our house in 2000 and they rolled us up 28-14 when we should have won that game. And no good excuse not to. But I when I look at Lamar Jackson, dude, I'm like, spies could ever play. I know everybody has got a different way to kill him and he's beating everybody, but they're not the same quarterback, man. Tannehill was taken away bad this week. I think he comes back really hard, and I'm going 28-14. I don't even think it's going to be much of a ball game in the second half, guys. So I'm calling it now, 28-14.
All right. Let's see what happens.
That's great. That's fabulous. Now, here's the thing. I don't recall anyone saying Lamar and Tannehill were the same quarterback. But, hey, you know, if we want to make up our own arguments, let's make them up. But my thing is this. They are mirror images of each other because of the physical mindset that they take to football, because of the grit, the way their head coaches are. They are very much mirror images of each other. Their personality as a team are the exact same.
Smash your face in, play
smash
good defense.
Face. Yeah. Now, obviously, Lamar and Ryan Tannehill.
They run the football
run it down
with the
your throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The focus on the rushing game and having strong defense and field position and turnovers.
And the biggest difference is the quarterback is the one doing a lot of the running for Baltimore.
He's doing a lot of the running, but Ingram, don't get it twisted.
Yeah,
Ingram, too, you know.
Don't forget, Tannehill only attempted 15 passes on Saturday.
It was clear.
That's all he attempted.
Yeah, he didn't need to do anymore.
And his biggest pass completion was a third down conversion to Firkser. That was huge.
Oh, the one on that left side. Yes. Yeah.
It was huge.
Big time. Late Firkser, in the game.
Man. Late in the game. That was a monster throw.
I like
throw.
Some Anthony
Firkser. What we call him? Sticky fingers.
Sticky fingers. That's him.
That's him, man. Best hands on the team.
I wish he would talk a little bit more. He's kind of quiet.
I'm working on something.
Are you?
For this station.
Oh.
Yeah. We got something in the
That way. Was called a tease.
We like
ladies
that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A tease it is. Chase the TD thought, show, man.
I thought that was just a huge play, a huge throw, and Tannehill wasn't asked to do much. We know we focus when you only attempt 15 passes and you have a bad pick like that, but that throw right there to Firkser was a monster play. And you do have to credit because we were trying to figure out all week who are they going to take out, because that's what Bill Belichick does. And, you know, we suspected that it was going to be A.J. Brown. And this is kind of we talked about this in the Saints game, right after the Saints game, and then now after the Patriots game. This is now that A.J. Brown has had this type of season, now teams are going to game plan for him. Defensive coordinators are going to watch a lot of film on him, and now it'll be up to A.J. Brown. And I know they're still in this season, but next year in year two to take that next step, because that's how the greats become greats.
Mm-hmm.
They have
mm-hmm.
to keep taking yeah. that next step.
Never
because
settle.
Right, they're – because they're going to treat him differently next year than they did this year. Fair?
But they're going to definitely treat him to a whole lot more attention. So, yes.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. You can text us, 615-737-1025. Tron Davenport of ESPN hanging out with us. So I wanted to bring something up with you that we've now seen 2 weeks in a row for the Tennessee Titans in the offense. And I love how, because we've discussed this on Chase and TD, of you're noticing Arthur Smith, he's starting to get a little more creative. There's some gadget mm-hmm. plays that mm-hmm. he works in. And one of the things they did is they put Marcus Mariota in for a play, both against Houston, which he got the completion to A.J. Brown to put him over 1,000 yards. And then Saturday night, it was a 4-yard pass. It was a completion. But they're using Marcus Mariota in some of these packages. And I like that, and I'm wondering how much we could see with that against Baltimore this weekend.
Couple things here. That was a pass off of a zone read too.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when Mariota was coming out, he reminded me a lot of Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And the thing that was pretty cool with that was the way they used to use that zone read. They go 12 personnel, two tight ends run crossing routes, and they would use that zone read and linebackers would just go crazy, you know, because they didn't know what to do. And that is something that I think could present a bit of an issue if Arthur Smith expands the package to include that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. And you could always – you don't have to use 12 personnel. You could have A.J. Brown run the crossing route and Jonnu Smith run it from the opposite side. So I say that to say I like that package. I like that he's letting that be known, that this is something that they have, you know – incorporated into their passing game. And, you know, it gives Mariota a chance to still be involved with the team as well. So it's good on all fronts.
Well, because I've thought about, you know, look, it wasn't working with Marcus as a starting quarterback. It just wasn't. And Tannehill has clearly made this his offense. They're putting up points. With all that said, you're not going to take any – I'm not going to be the one to say he's not an athlete and he doesn't have some skill that you can use. Mm-hmm. He's on the team. Use him.
Mm-hmm.
So – you know, he's the backup quarterback, but I think there are some plays that he can still make. And as you get deeper into the playoffs, what do we always see? You have to then go into the deep bag of tricks and you have to bring out some plays that maybe you've worked on, but you don't use a lot. And I think Mariota is somebody that can help execute that. You know, Baltimore has the Heisman package that I think there's a good chance we mm-hmm, see with Lamar and RG3 and Mark Ingram. Well, guess what? The Titans have two Heisman Trophy winners on their team as well. Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill has played receiver, so I could see them doing some things like that too.
Yeah, I'm not putting Tannehill at receiver.
They line him up at receiver.
Yeah, I'm not lining him up at receiver. If Marcus Mariota comes into the game, in my opinion, Tannehill needs to be on the sideline.
What if you did the opposite? What if you lined Marcus Mariota up at receiver?
I don't think there's really much that it brings. However, that zone read package that you talked about, I think that is – all right, it's 2nd and 9, right? Let's say that the Ravens do go man defense. They go zone read. That outside linebacker, Jalen Ferguson. Let's say Jalen Ferguson, a guy who the Titans were very hot on before the draft, by the way. Let's say Ferguson doesn't have outside contain. Mariota pulls it. And you know Marcus Mariota, he has a lot of ability to run with that football. Mm-hmm. That could be one of the ways you find a big explosive play, a 30-yard run. You know, and that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, showing that package is in there, because you want to be able to, you know, find different explosive plays and find ways to move the football that haven't really been accounted for in the past.
So one thing we talked about when we got into this is they didn't need Tannehill. They didn't really need anybody. You know, Firkser made a couple of big plays, but A.J. Brown had one catch for 4 yards. I mean, that was it. He was pretty much taken out of it. But a lot of it was because Derrick Henry was so effective. I feel like this week Derrick Henry can still be effective, but you're probably going to need more of a passing game.
Yeah.
And what is your confidence level of them working that back in?
Yeah, you're going to have a passing game, because this Ravens offense is much more explosive than the Patriots, much more dynamic, much more dangerous, any way you want to put it. So for me, I think you do need to get that passing game incorporated. The Ravens don't have a Stephon Gilmore, although Jimmy Smith, you know, Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters are really good. But here's the thing with Marcus Peters. He's an ultra-aggressive. He reminds me of Asante Samuel. I don't know if you guys, you know. And what did Asante Samuel always do? He would jump routes. So, for me, you know, what's on film with A.J. Brown? That slant. It's already established that dude is a monster on the slant. I'm hitting that a couple times, and I'm going slow-go seam. I'm doing that all day, you know, a slow-go seam. And that's a chance to get another big play to get that passing game right. But it's just – if you do that, you got to make sure that old Earl Thomas is not back there playing traffic cop in the post safety position.
Yeah, because everybody gushes over their offense, as they should, but the defense is pretty good too.
Yeah.
It's something you have to watch out for.
Between Michael Pierce and Brandon Williams, man, those guys controlling that line of scrimmage, like, they make it very hard. The Ravens are 4th in the league in rushing defense. They're 6th in the league in passing defense. Yeah. This is a team that – and they're aggressive.
I'll say this, though. The Titans have gone up against some of those top teams on the rush defense, and it hasn't stopped them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's you have to fight power with power, fire with fire, you know. And I just think that these guys up front, I smile because I asked Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan after the game about, you know, being able to go shoot a shoe and run the ball like that. And he said it. They're glorified security guards, you know. And they're going to have to specialize in escorting some guys out of the club this week, because they have to be able to run the football. But one of the things that helps you run the ball is effectively passing it too.
Taylor Lewan was called for that penalty, and he let everybody know after the game that was the wrong call. Was it the wrong call?
I'm not so sure.
I'd be careful putting him on live television, by the way.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Why? What would Taylor Lewan do?
He'll drop some beeps every once in a while.
Did he think it was a podcast?
I don't know.
I don't know what the deal is.
Because you can do that on your podcast.
Yeah.
If you want. Not yours. But maybe
we keep ours G-rated.
As I say, you keep yours family.
Yeah, family rated.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was a oops.
Channel 5. Whoop.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Let me, before we talk a little bit more on the other side about this matchup to close out hour number two, what were your thoughts on the other three wild card games? We talked about it earlier. Road teams, lots of success. Seattle gets it done in Philly. They beat the Eagles. You've got the big upset of the week in the Vikings beating the Saints, although albeit a little bit of controversy. Imagine that. And the Texans falling behind 16-0 and coming back and winning in overtime. By the way, how about that play by Deshaun Watson to keep that play alive in overtime?
He's unbelievable. My thoughts on the other three games, you know, I think, like you said, Deshaun Watson, he always has your team with a chance to win. I think the Vikings, you know, man, what can you say? Kirk Cousins, I've always been critical of him, but he stepped up in this game. I'll give credit where it's due. And then the other game, which was the Eagles and Seahawks. I mean, Carson was out, you know, but Russell Wilson stepped up, and that daggone DK Metcalf. How about it?
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of interesting when people focus on everything except for football. You know what I mean?
And I will give – was that the NBC game, right? That was Collinsworth? I'll give him some credit on that, man. Most people are not going to – it's just like, you know, on this show. We try to do it, but, you know, listeners will call in and just say whatever they want, and rarely do they come back, although we've got some great listeners that will call back and say, you know what? I blew it. I said that this was going to happen. It didn't even come close. But Collinsworth admitting that he thought he graded him out as a seventh-round pick. It would be real easy to forget that conversation. We're in the playoffs. We're in January. That conversation or whenever that happened was a long time ago. But for him to bring that up, I'll give him some props because most probably would have just let that part slide.
The thing I didn't like was he said he figured – when Metcalf coming into the production meeting, he figured that he was going to be
a little surprised by that. I know. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
He was totally different in their meeting. You know, they have the national guys meetings, and I was a little surprised that he said that.
I wasn't feeling that
at all. Why would you think that he was?
Yeah. He throughout the whole draft process, he was nothing but respectful.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him. He called me, little old me. He called me sir. At the combine, he called me sir when I talked to him at the draft here in Nashville. So I don't know about that.
I will grant you that you're right. That it's on one hand, I compliment him for bringing up that he had him graded out as a seventh round pick. By the way, a lot of people did go second round Seattle. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? That looks like a steal, just like AJ Brown in the second round. The two Ole Miss receivers look like absolute steals after 1 year with those being second round picks, but you're right. And then on the same hand, he then gets into, I guess, his preconceived notion of what he thought he was going to be in a pregame meeting that he was really impressed with him. Well, what did you think you were getting? I just thought that was a little weird too. So yeah, good job bringing that up. We'll come back, close out hour number two with Teron. ESPN Analytics have chances to win the Super Bowl with the remaining eight teams as we go in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. No surprise, the Ravens have the best chance, 37%, followed by who's next?
Probably San Francisco.
That's who I would have said.
But is that incorrect?
But it's the Chiefs.
Oh, really?
24%. 49ers, 18%. That's your top three. Then there's a significant drop-off. They basically don't like the rest of the teams. Packers, 7%. Vikings, 7%. Seahawks, 3%. Titans and 3%. Texans, 2%.
Wow. Everybody seems to be riding off the Packers.
If you've watched them, yeah, honestly.
And I'm not. Look,
There's a lot of Patriots feel to them.
Yeah.
They're
a two seed, but they don't feel like a two
seed. Well, look at all their games. All their games were close, nail biters, one possession. Now, granted, they won. Good for them. Right? They got a bye. But.
That daggone Aaron Rodgers, man. He's not playing well.
No, did you see him in the first half against the Lions in the final game?
That's where I'm going.
Well, that's what he did. The first half against the Lions, I watched that game because the Titans and Texans was the later game. He was awful in the first half, missing guys all over the place. I think he had 39 yards passing at half. Mm. They were getting smoked by Detroit, and then he came out in the second half and threw for 300 yards.
And that's the thing.
And a couple of scores, and the Packers win.
That dude can catch fire and just turn that thing on in the playoffs, and if they just get an inkling of offense to go along with that defense, they're going to be an issue. So I wouldn't count them out. Chase, you're right. A lot of people are sleeping on them, and that's a giant that you don't want to awaken.
Well, because my whole thing is I'm not much of a believer either, but if Aaron Rodgers, you know, wakes up and goes, it's the playoffs, so we had a bye, okay, I'm going to go be Aaron Rodgers today, that's trouble. That's trouble for whoever goes up against him.
Well, I tell you what the thing is, they are starting to find, because you think of the Packers, their offense, right? It's Aaron Jones, who is really good. I remember, little side note, I hosted Aaron Jones and Jayon Brown in Philly at the radio station there for a bit, and we went to a few other places and had some fun, but really cool dude. But he is someone who has become a key to that offense, right? So you think of him and you think of Devontae Adams. But they're starting to develop someone else to be on the opposite side, and that's Allen Lazard.
Yeah.
So they're getting more balance, and then you always got Jimmy Graham too. So there's definitely potential for that team to explode.
Well, and I think Seattle is the right team that could knock them off.
Yeah.
I mean they didn't play particularly well yesterday. I mean, they did enough to win the game against a backup quarterback and Carson Wentz. Like, come on, what's up with that?
Yeah. The hit itself.
Yeah,
tough, man.
But I think Seattle, and they've had some memorable matchups against the Packers in
the past. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that.
I love
a good
watching
one.
Russell Wilson, man.
So
Tyler Lockett is one of my favorite receivers.
And now they got Beast Mode back.
Yeah.
Which you just—I mean, there's a little bit left in the tank.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yep. So,
Vikings and 49ers will get the divisional round of the playoffs going at 3:30 on Saturday, and then the nightcap will be Titans and Ravens. Sunday will be Texans Chiefs. The early game, followed by the Seahawks and Packers, and I like the fact they've moved those Sunday games to a little bit later.
Yeah, the only reason the way it was yesterday was because of the Golden Globes.
Yeah,
NBC.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good, man. Get to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I saw
your video. They used to start at noon like they did this past Sunday, but now they kick off at 2.
Yeah.
So the second game will be more like a night game.
Yep.
Which is good. So what are the keys in your part? What needs to happen for them to pull off this upset? By the way, they are a 9.5-point underdog.
Yep.
To the Ravens. Depending on where you look.
I'm taking the Titans in the points for sure.
It started off at 10. It's come down.
It's crazy. What are the keys? Man, it's so tough. I think the first key one is Derrick Henry, establishing him early and consistently through the game. And I want to say it's important to get it close and get to the second half with it being close, but it's a different David versus Goliath. It's not, you don't have that this week. You know, it's we're both.
You got to have a fast start,
and you got to have a fast start,
which they did.
Yeah. So I think really it is controlling the game and winning from a physicality standpoint. So you have to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. It's going to be tough because both sides of the ball for the Ravens are dominating the line of scrimmage. So that for me is the first key. After that, you have to play off of it. You have to get Tannehill to be on schedule, consistent, moving the football down the field, high percentage throws. Avoid turnovers. You can't have any turnovers. So defensively, for me, going against the Ravens, I think the objective is to contain Lamar Jackson. You cannot allow him to create the explosive play by way of the pass or the run. And that's something that he does. You know, he pushes the ball down the field with the best of them. And obviously he runs with the best of them too when it comes to that explosiveness. So I think that's key. You got to control the tight end, specifically Mark Andrews, right? You talk about when Mariota was at his best, he had Delanie Walker as a safety blanket. That's what Mark Andrews is to Lamar Jackson. There's a reason why they grabbed two tight ends in that draft along with Lamar, and that was to give him guys that he could have high percentage throws to and be someone that will be his safety net. Mark Andrews kills teams. And thank you, Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, for my fantasy football championship among the Titans media, by the way. You know, I didn't get a belt for it. You know, we got to talk about that, Puffer. But, I think you got to contain that part of it. And the other thing is field position. That's huge. That's huge. And when you have a guy like Brett Kern that could flip the field, it's going to help you defensively. So, for me, those are the keys. It's going to be a tough game. I don't know if the Titans win this one, honestly.
Have we seen the weather forecast yet? I know it's still very early, but what are they saying today?
It was the last when I checked it yesterday. Right, when I checked it yesterday, it was in the 40s or 50s with rain. So I had to kind of switch my outfit up. You know what I mean?
It is projected to be, as I pull up Saturday, showers.
40%?
60% now.
Oh, it's going up 60%.
High of 65, but obviously this will be at night. So 54 is the low.
Wow, so that's balmy.
Yeah.
January in Baltimore?
Yeah, isn't it? That's crazy, right? That's crazy. It's crazy. I just hope that we don't have this because, you know, I may look young, but I'm an old whipper, you know, old fella. Remember the Fog Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm not. You don't remember that, Chase. Stop it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know why I said yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't want that, right? And you have the water right there. The stadium is right off the water. I hope that fog doesn't roll in off of there and we're cheated of an outstanding
It looked foggy
game.
In Foxborough.
It initially pulling up, it was foggy, but
it looked foggy.
Yeah, no, it was okay.
Is it the fireworks that they shoot off before the game and the smoke kind of holds in the stadium? That's what it looked like to me.
Could have been.
And I've been foggy. There, so that does happen. And obviously they amp up the fireworks show for playoffs. But it seemed like
they
it hovered
shoot fireworks
around.
Off at Nissan?
Do what?
I think I heard they shot fireworks off at Nissan Stadium when they won. Because we could hear it from the house I was at. We're not that far.
You know, depending on what area of the city you were in, it may not have been fireworks, right?
I did think that initially, but then I thought I saw on Twitter that they did shoot fireworks off.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, where were you?
I was close to here.
Well, then you think you heard fireworks downtown from close to here?
It sounded like fireworks.
I think it's probably what Tehran
could have been
hinting at.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll hear that next Sunday or Saturday, rather. I can't wait for this game. I had a different charge last week. I'm excited about it, but this is going to be a tough matchup, man.
And this is not a prediction. This is just how I feel. Chicago in four, which probably doesn't make sense to you, but this team is starting to feel a lot like the Predators that made a run to the Stanley Cup final. Of they probably shouldn't win, they probably shouldn't be in it, but they are. And I felt really good about New England in the matchup, and that I didn't like how the Patriots were playing. I liked how the Titans were playing. I mean, even in their losses, you have to like how they were playing. I mean, New Orleans, you know, they lost to a better team, but they were in it. They were putting up numbers.
And they didn't have the F-150.
And they didn't have Derrick Henry. So I don't know. But
you sound like Marty Schottenheimer. There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be, you know, smart about it. Use my brain, not my heart.
Yeah, no. My brain
tells me that Baltimore's probably going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot rule out a team that has heart. You just can't.
100%.
I do think the next step kind of something I asked you before, because I think they're getting fans back, which is a really good thing. This run, this season, that win is going to get people back. It is going to help them moving forward. And I said, now you have to sustain that. You have to keep that going. I do kind of feel like the next step, Tehran, and I know this is like way out. It's like, whoa, how about, you know, finish up. I get that. But I'm just throwing this out there. The next step, I think, is hosting a playoff game. Like it desperately needs to come back here. Like it has been so long of a playoff game in this market. I think that would change everything too. So that to me would be like another goal for next year. Not only getting back to this level again, but to actually host a playoff game would really change.
Imagine that
would change things a lot.
No doubt. Real quick, shout out to my friends over there at WKRN, Kayla Anderson and Haley Wilgus. I hope I didn't butcher your last name, but she posted a video on Twitter of fireworks being fired from Nissan Stadium. So folks close to the stadium.
There you go. They would know those studios.
And close to the studio, you guys are all right.
Yeah,
it's,
all right.
It's okay. It wasn't gunfire.
Teron, good stuff.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Thanks as always.
Appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Baltimore, and I can't wait to hear what we're talking about this time next week.
Crab cakes on deck, baby.
Hey, that's the place to get them, for sure. Teron Davenport, Friday night, 6 to
Friday,
8.
Oh, yeah, you know.
6 to 8, right here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Teron Davenport. Also check out his work on ESPN.com and his podcast, Talking with TD. He does it all. We'll come back hour number three of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.